A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he set out ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Ask the master to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In May, a group of us did a river cruise from Paris, France, out to Normandy. And the purpose of the cruise was to go to Normandy to the site of the D-Day invasion, the largest amphibious undertaking in human history, and one which began the liberation of Europe during the Second World War. When we got there, we had an incredible guide, an author who was a walking encyclopedia of Normandy. And he took us first and walked us on the beaches where the British, the Australian, and the Canadian troops came ashore. And they're broad, wide beaches that could have stretched almost to Fifth Street. And then immediately at the end is farmland. And then he took us to the beaches where the Americans had the land. And it's a much narrower beach. And then in front of it are these 50, 60-foot high cliffs that they had to climb. And then we went to the top of the cliffs and saw the German bunkers. The walls of concrete are that thick. And though they are rusted, the guns are still there that were used to murder our soldiers as they tried to free and liberate Europe. After we visited that site, we went to the American cemetery, where over almost 10,000 soldiers are buried. And at the monument is a long marble wall on which are engraved the names of an additional 1,800 soldiers whose bodies were never found. There were 52 of us, and when we got off the bus, they gave each one of us a long-stemmed rose and suggested that we walk silently in the cemetery for 10 or 15 minutes and then leave our rose on one of the graves. Each of the marble crosses is engraved with the name of a soldier who is buried there and the state from which he came. There are more soldiers buried there from Pennsylvania than from any other state in the Union. After we did that, they asked us to gather at the monument and to observe a moment of silence. When we did so, suddenly a woman began to sing the Star-Spangled Banner. And that was followed by taps. As I stood there listening to that hymn and that melody and looking out over that cemetery, there's not a blade of grass that's out of place. It's meticulously maintained. On the one side is an avenue of trees, and the trunks are probably cut up 10 feet. And then the tree comes out and is trimmed into a perfect circle, probably another 20 feet high. And then as far as your eye can see are these meticulous rows of white marble crosses, endless rows. And I thought to myself, these were kids. They were 19 and 20 years old. They never knew what it was to love a woman, to father a child, to have a chance at life. And then I thought to myself, those kids laid down their lives that we could give them an America in the condition it's in today. An America where madmen who should be in asylums can walk into an elementary school a movie theater, or a nightclub, and senselessly slaughter people. An America where the government at all levels is becoming increasingly dysfunctional. In our own community, the city and the county can't sit down and amicably resolve an issue as simple as busing. How will they ever resolve more important issues? And on the state level, how long did we wait last year for a budget, for funding for the organizations that help the poor? And it is always the poor who suffer the most. And how long did they jockey this year withholding funds for the public education of our children? And at the federal level, we just throw up our hands in despair. And I thought to myself, we're betraying these kids. We're spitting on their graves. Something is wrong. And I don't pretend to have an answer, but I would offer two suggestions. First, every one of us must get much more involved in the political process so that once again we can elect officials who will work for the common good and not for their own ideology or ego. And secondly, because of who we are and what we believe, we always begin to face a problem in prayer. And so, O beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. O beautiful for pilgrim's feet, whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Amen.